Yo! What is up, everybody? Make some noise for Planet Destiny Podcast episode 120, the littest, absolutely most hyped Destiny 2 reveal post-stream amazing hype fest. I hope you're psyched.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Coming at you live from your own goddamn living room, it's the Sunday night Planet Destiny Podcast episode 120, and there's only one thing that we're talking about tonight. It's the thing that everyone has been waiting all week.
Pokemon.
Come in here and talk about.
What? The best thing about it is that we've got you guys to just, I can just sit back and you can tell us all about how it played, how it tasted, all the excitement live out on the field right from ground zero. So.
Well, I mean, there is definitely going to be talk of tasting in this podcast, but I was going to say it's episode 120, probably my favorite episode because it's the one where Story and I don't have to do jack.
Yep.
All you guys, go for it.
You good? Wait, you weren't there? I think you were there. I saw you there. I'm pretty sure I saw you.
You were definitely there, right?
You were there.
Yeah, right.
Weren't you like the skinny white guy? Oh, no, that was True Vanguard. All right, never mind.
Fallout, that was a mirror.
Not totally TV. That was TV.
So what do you want to know? What do you want to talk about?
Question? I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, you hit us with questions.
Is that what we get to do, Story? Do we get to just ask them questions?
Because
we
weren't. Why not? Yeah.
Special guests.
I like it.
Fallout, Mega, and Bones. Yeah.
Things out.
I think we can all agree that we're not buying the game, right? And it was like the worst thing we've ever played. Is that what we also want? Yeah.
No, definitely not purchasing computer parts anytime soon.
Definitely. All right, so I'm gonna jump into it. So, aside from all the floofy stuff of like, oh, whoa, the red carpet, and we all walked in together, and blah blah.
Yeah.
So they're huge, huge venue, gigantic, like an air hangar for military planes. We go in, we go all the way down near the front, pick out seats, and then we have to kind of kill time for an hour. But when that was all done, Deej kind of came on stage with like 5 minutes. He was like, get in your seat right now, otherwise get out.
Or otherwise shut up. Delete your vaults. And I was like, yes!
Delete your vault. Don't stream this or I'll kill you.
That is actually true. Bones did say yes when he said that. I'm like, do it! Yeah.
So we sat down and they did the keynote, and I couldn't, I was sitting, Mega and I are sitting next to each other, and Bones is like, it's me, Mega, and then I think Swain from Crucible Radio, and then Bones, and then Birds, and we're all like huddled together, and like, I couldn't imagine that each minute would be more hype than the last, but it was. And they did the trailer, and we're like, oh my god, this is insane. And then like Commander Zavala does the Fist of Havoc, we're like, oh my god.
Oh my god, yeah. Oh my god. Dude.
And it just kept going. Every time someone from Bungie came out on the stage and was like, oh yeah, and we're doing this too. Everyone was like, oh my god. It kept going.
They really could have gotten us to do any of their bidding. They had us in the palm of their hand during that whole presentation. They could have, I don't know. I just feel like they could have put that energy towards something great. Like, I felt like I was a zombie, one of Ivan Ooze's zombie adults in that moment. They had really sucked me in. It was amazing. I told Fallout at one point, I said I felt like I was in a Southern Baptist church when everybody's clapping. They're really into it. Because every single time they showed anything, everybody's just woo, clapping, screaming. It was fun. Yeah.
Feeling the Holy Ghost of the speaker up in there.
We're not worthy.
Pledge.
And then, what's up, Story?
Pledge. Pledge. It's like an evangelist. Pledge your
banner. We're gonna probably stick around in this story a little bit. But when everything was said and done, they were like, yeah, now you're gonna get to actually play the game. We're like, oh my god. So it's over. Everybody stands up. This is a true story. So Meg and I start looking around. And we're looking at our good friends, Crucible Radio, that we came in with. And they're all, talking to each other. Like, oh, wow, that was hype and blah, blah. And Mega and I are, looking across the room. And everyone is funneling into the other warehouse where you can go to play the game. And I was like, Bones! Bones! He's not turning around. And Mega's like, just go, just go. And Mega and I just
I may have said something worse than that, honestly. I may have just been like, fuck him, go.
Go.
We're like shoving. They were gone. We were way, way gone. And we went into the next room, and there was a big, long line. And we magically made it near the front. And they were kind of there were employees going around with clipboards, and they were like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? And Meg and I were like, yeah, PvP, like right now. Yep. And they put us into a PvP, because they wrote our names down, and they were like bringing people into these stations to play. The first game of PvP that we played against was against Lil Sonic and Ninja with no L. So we're like, okay.
Of course it was.
Good game. Good game. Yeah, we started off awesome, but they quickly
did, thwarted us.
But it was kind of like I was trying to figure everything out. I wanted to like look at the skill tree and look at the guns, but the line was really, really huge. And some Bungie dude came over as I was looking at the skill tree, and he grabs my controller. He's like, "All right, you ready? Great!" And he starts the game. I was like, "Shit!" they wanted to keep the line moving, Yeah, we played on a map called Midtown.
Yes.
For the new objective game called Countdown, which was a shitload of fun. And I'm talking a lot. Anyone want to jump in here? Maggie?
No. We're listening. We're listening.
I'm in.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I'm reliving it again.
I don't know if you know at home the game type Countdown, but it's a objective game type where, you know, attack and defense, right? And every round it switches. If you get to 6 wins, then you win the game. And you spawn, and it's kind of a small to medium-sized map, and there's 2 areas on the map where you can activate, like, an objective. You kind of go in. Did anyone play Halo? It was kind of like planting the bomb or something like that. You go in.
Counter-Strike.
Yeah. That's probably a better example. You just go in, and you hold whatever. You hold square, and you activate the thing, and now it's powering up. Exactly. Yeah. It's gonna blow up in like 30 seconds unless the defending team can come in and shut it off. And it was actually also like trials. It was elimination. So like if you died, you didn't just respawn. You're dead. You're laying there. And you can get picked up like in trials, but not an unlimited number of times. There were revive tokens, I believe. Yes. Something
your
of that
team
nature.
Your team gets one per round. So if say I died and Fallout died and you revived me, you fucked up, basically. Like Fallout shut down now.
Yeah, you had to be really careful with how you played it. And even if one team, like even if you're on the defending team and you kill everybody on the attack team, well, great, good job for you. You get a bully, but hey, I hope you remember to turn that goddamn objective off, because even if you killed everybody, you don't turn that bomb off, you lose the round. And if you deactivate it, then hey, you win the round. Great job. But it was crazy fun. I mean, we only got to play 3 subclasses. Everybody, no matter what you were playing, you only got to play 3, which was Gunslinger, Striker, or the brand new Warlock, the Dawnblade, which was crazy fun. Love that Dawnblade.
So talk to us a little bit about that
successor
to the Sunsinger. I was going to say, so talk to us a little bit about that class then, because that is one of the big standouts that we got to see from the show floor there. And I'm a Warlock guy. I want a big flaming sword. So tell me, what does this thing do?
Yeah, it's definitely the spiritual successor. It is Sunsinger reborn, pun intended, in a class that has both, in my opinion, more offensive capabilities and support capabilities, which is a really awesome thing that they added in with the class abilities. Titans have some support as well. Hunters, not yet, or that we don't know about, but we'll get to that. The Dawnblade was really cool. Of course, everyone remembers that the first mission they show where the Warlock floats above the enemies and you can drop down those, you just rain fire swords down on everything. And it works pretty good on the ground. I mean, if you don't want to get that hop, you just skate it across. It's like a Reinhardt fire charge blast just straight through a doorway or something like that. That works too. But melee and grenades, very, very similar to the Sunsinger. Grenades are exactly the same, save for the fact that sticky grenades no longer one-shot kill.
And melee is weaker in general too. But
Yeah. The overall time to kill has been increased, meaning it takes more time and damage to kill a guardian in the Crucible. And I don't know how much that relates in literal power output, but a melee, a charged, then 2 uncharged is required to kill a full health guardian. And a sticky grenade plus a few extra shots or 1 good solid precision shot with a hand cannon. So that's interesting, and that's it plays out well where these is really strategic longer engagements, which is really fun, and teamwork was definitely encouraged. The special thing about subclasses now is that they have focuses. There's like skill trees that you select as a whole rather than picking one perk out of every column like we have now. Ooh. And that is a very interesting thing. My biggest takeaway from all of D2 is that they found ways to make things easier to balance going forward. And I think this is one of those things. So there's 4 perks you get. It affects your melee. It might have like a passive ability. And it might have something for your super. So for the one we had, it was Attunement of the Sky on the Dawnblade, which allowed us to drop out of the air if you hold circle, which is the same thing as your rift that you can drop on the floor. It had a perk called Risen Angel, which is essentially Angel of Light. And then it had the same thing effect with your super. You could stay up in the air if you aimed, which was how you saw that warlock just kind of float sideways and just go bam, bam, bam with the sword. So it's like, if you really, really like the drop move, you need to pick Attunement of the Sky, and you're going to get the 3 that come with it. If you really, really, really like the other perk down in the other skill tree that offers like a Twilight Garrison while you're in your super, like if that just really, really feels good to you, then you got to go with that melee and the other 2 or so passive perks. So I think that's an interesting way to play it, and we're not going to see some crazy setup where you just pick automatically, all right, here's the 5 strongest perks on this subclass. That's all I'll ever use for the rest of the game. That's my only choice. Now you really do have to pick, and I'm really hoping that they put good choices in each so it's appealing in that sense. I'm sure there's going to be strong perks, but that to me stands out as a way of like, okay, you can't just figure out some weird setup to make defender bubbles create too many orbs so that PvP games spiral and you can't have tethers last the longest they can and create orbs and blah, blah, blah. You got to really choose your setup, and I think it'll make for some really interesting encounters, especially if people like different skills.
Yeah, just a tangent I kind of want to go on with the builds. Do you assume or think, like I think, that there are more that will be unlocked as you unlock, like the, because there were only 2 builds for each subclass that we saw, and that just seems like smaller significantly than what our options are right now in Destiny 1.
There was another thing that, I mean, obviously this is just mere speculation. Looking at the screenshots and the footage of the skill trees that I saw, and knowing how the graphics, like, designers and the appearance of things look, it looked like there was space for more stuff.
Yes.
You know, I'm like, as soon as I saw all the UI and everything, it was like, oh man, you know, it's the game has retained its identity, but things are different, like they're really different. And then seeing these negative spaces, I'm like, that's against the grain of these guys. They would have something there, even if it was just a graphic or an insignia or a symbol.
Yeah. In so many little ways, we did confirm that this build is an old one. It was made specifically for this event for us to experience.
Yeah.
They purposely did not let us see the Arc Strider or Sentinel. Those were not ready for play. And I heard from Pope Bear and the guys at DCP that certain cooldowns were adjusted so that we really could experience those class abilities, which were the new thing.
That's interesting.
So those rifts and all the barriers that the Titans drop and the evade move, I believe that was sped up a little bit. And it felt noticeable because you can definitely, with a round-based game like Countdown, you could definitely go through a round, use 2 of your abilities, and you're like, oh boy, I don't have anything for the next round. And your grenade was really slow, and you felt like, oh, I don't even want to throw this, as opposed to the Destiny 1 experience, which is...
Which did you like that,
Every 2 seconds, grenade.
And I mean, we were looking everywhere when we sat down at the station looking at the skill tree, and we were like, where is... Intellect, Discipline, Strength, where is that? And couldn't find it. And you look on your gear, and your gear is what has the agility, the recovery, and the armor. We were like, oh, shit, look at that. That's kind of a big change, isn't it?
Yeah, that was like the first thing I did, because I'm so used to Destiny 1, I'm like, all right, how can I go to my armor to try to change around any stats on it to
Where's
make sure
my tier
that it's fulfilled.
Right?
Exactly. I was just like, what am I rocking with? And then I'm like, what the hell is this? What is going on here? What do you think you're trying to pull on me, Bungie? And then, it was... I'm glad that you said they sped up those the recharge rates on the abilities, though, because I remember playing our first game thinking everything felt pretty slow to recharge, except for those felt like oddly faster than the other things. So I guess that makes sense right there, doesn't it?
Get ready for a lot of primary weapon-based gameplay.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
Really?
I could see that rift really getting out of control if you have it that fast all the time. Yeah. I mean, there is no reason not to use that one. It was like, put down rift. Me and Swain stacked it one time, which got insane. We were just had the empowering and the healing. So everyone just sort of stood on it and was just like melting stuff.
Was that the match where you, Crucible Radio, played a team scrim against the DCP?
You know what? I think it was. I think it was that game.
Hey, who won that match anyway?
I'm pretty sure it was Crucible Radio.
Was it?
Yeah. Proper scrailing?
I think it was.
It's coming back to me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was confirmed.
Well, okay, so let's focus on abilities for a second there, because for those who don't know, we do have new abilities in this game alongside your traditional melee and your grenade. And we were talking a little bit before the podcast went live, and you were certainly speaking about right now, the Empowering Rift is the Dawn Blade special ability, right?
So let's get let me tell you a little bit about the Dawn Blade, all right? You get that third ability. So again, grenade, melee, and then like third is kind of like, it depends on subclass, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the Dawnblade gets a rift, which means you hold down the crouch button and you kind of lay down a zone right around your warlock. The zone doesn't go with you, but you just mark where it is and then you can go in and out of it. By the way, all this information and more can be found in my latest YouTube guide to the Dawnbreaker, youtube.com/falloutplace. And you can change the rift to either be a rift of empowerment, meaning that when you're in it, you get an extra damage buff. And your teammates, too. If they're in that rift, you get the damage buff. Or you can have a healing rift, which when you're in there, it actually does two things. One is it makes your health regenerate automatically, and then it gives you an overshield if you're the Dawnblade in the rift. And that overshield, go watch the footage. I'm serious. It recharges in the blink of an eye.
It looks really,
really hard to take down a Dawnblade in their rift. And that's one of their neutral. It's basically like having a Defender Titan bubble almost that you can shoot through because it's not like in your face. It's just you stand in it. You know what I mean? It's a really powerful option. And the Gunslinger has a, you know, ability like that. They actually have kind of a shade step like the Night Stalker where you can do a little juke move. And again, it's not like the Night Stalker in terms of the cooldown is much longer.
Yeah.
However long, you know, 45 to a minute or whatever it was. And you can tweak the skill tree so that when you do the little juke move, it actually reloads your gun. So you become like a little bit of a McCree for anyone who plays Overwatch out there.
Yeah, I read something about that, being able to kind of do a little bit of a shade step and reload at the same time. I was like, yeah, that's Overwatch. But for the Empowering Rift thing, it seems like a better version of the Sunbreaker Titan Sunspot ability that nobody uses. I was watching some, I can't wait to see your video because I want to see the numbers and stuff that's associated with this, but I was watching Holtzman play. And he was talking about that specific ability and just how good getting that health regen and that overshield is. And I was like, good. Good.
Yeah, I really want to play like the Defender Captain America Titan Sentinel, who like throws the shield everywhere. But like, it's going to have to be a really good build. Same thing with that new, the pole dancer, blade pole dancer, whatever that thing is. They're going to have to be really good to take me off the Dawnblade because that Dawnblade is sexy AF right now.
I'm positive that I'm going to be all Captain America shielding the entirety of Destiny 2. That's all I can tell. I want to say, though, I want to talk about the Striker ability and why it's my favorite, because it actually makes you use Destiny's cover mechanic. They actually made it a thing. I was like, holy crap, I'm using the cover mechanic right now, and it's not, like, stupid. It's actually
Guerrilla Fighter, where are you?
I can bring the cover with me. It's actually useful now. I don't have to plant myself in like the one spot on the map that has a spot you can crouch in and do cover fire with.
For those who don't know, do you want to break it down how the cover?
So the striker ability is essentially you can create a wall that's sort of like just a bubble defense wall in front of you. You can either do a really tall one that is basically like a door blocker or like just a huge wall behind you so people can't shoot you, or you can do one that is exactly crouch height that you can then crouch behind and then aim ADS to pop up and shoot and stay back down on it. I was using it to like slide into the plant area, like the one doorway, and then pop it after I like stopped my slide so I could stay in the doorway and shoot at the guys while we tried to plant the bomb. Nice. A lot of fun.
It is really cool how the short wall auto crouches you. So when you do slide and pop that, it does put you in that crouch position so you can keep pressure and immediately pop up and use that cover mechanic. As cool as that is, I think there's some good offensive potential there. I found the big wall to be so intriguing, and I really want to see how it gets used as people really, really find the best ways to use it, because I saw everyone just putting a wall down and then going like, well, there's a big wall. I guess I'll stand to the side of it and shoot around it like a corner, which is like, that's a worse cover mechanic than just a wall. But to cut off one of those hallways to say, you want power ammo? Well, I'm putting a wall, so you better walk around. Or in those final moments where the bomb is ticking down, to literally fill a doorway.
Yeah,
and that's what make them fight through it and shoot it.
So rude, yeah.
Yeah, I love the potential there. I think there's a lot of big stuff there. I think the short wall will be great for maybe PvE when it's all about just like, keep pressure on these enemies or help me melt this boss real quick. Well, let's all just put cover right here. But there's a lot of potential with maybe even revives too, of like throw down a big wall, get your revive. No BS about revive snipes there or anything like that, because you just created cover. Yeah. So it's a cool like team element for Titans, which hasn't really ever existed. I think that's seriously really, really interesting.
So with the wall, I imagine, of course, like all other abilities, it's on a timer. But if it takes a certain amount of damage, does it like dissipate?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You can break it with things.
With things. All right.
And that's, throw rocks that's, at it. It's pretty, pretty important to realize in the rift too. I mean, it sounds obvious now, but when I was figuring it out, I would put it down and I thought maybe I'd get health regen immediately, or I thought maybe I'd just melt through someone. But if I put it down and they already saw me as I'm doing it, they just melt you. I mean, you'll just get shot and you try to get up and you're like, well, I hope I'll just win because of the damage, and it's just not enough. So you still have to use it strategically, and I don't think that's going to be something you just run over, put it on the cap zone and be like, sorry, I win. Like, I used the bubble. It's definitely not like that aggressive bubble popping technique from defenders. Mm-hmm.
True. Not at all. Do we want to talk about changes to the supers that we know?
Yeah, I don't care if you want to, do it.
Yeah, man.
All right. Like how the Striker Titan now being a roaming super was very, very interesting. I only got to use it one time effectively, because the very first match we played was against Ninja, like we said, and I went to activate my slam and got melted before I could even activate it in the last round. But then I got to use it later, and it was like awesome to kind of slam. It's not like as powerful the initial slam, but then you basically have like the sun charge ability after that with like awesome shoulder charges out of nowhere. I don't know. It's cool.
Before we got to play the gameplay and we were all watching the trailer, there was that moment where Zavala's like, yeah, and he like fists of havocs everybody, and Mega and I were like, oh my god. And after he fists everybody, more enemies come, and then his fist started glowing again, and he goes in for another, and I was like, well, that's not technically accurate, you know.
I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, they're really dropping the ball here at Bungie. And then we go into the gameplay, like, it's a roaming super now? Are you kidding me? This is amazing. I think the blast radius is a little bit tinier to like compensate, but it's still fists of havoc. Like, I just ran into a crowd and there were two people kind of near me, and like, boom, it's like I killed both of them anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you run around and like, you're glowing blue, and I like headbutted some motherfucker down the line. Like,
you really look like Juggernaut. Like, it's almost comical, the animation of the Titan running around in that super, and you just see someone like, sorry listeners on iTunes, but he's just going
Your weapons cannot harm me.
Just like flying through and stuff, and you're just like, what is that? You're just like kind of shooting at it.
So man,
I
felt
like I saw one. I immediately was. That's what I said. I was like, "What the fuck is that?" Like,
yeah. I saw someone pop it. Like they do the first slam outside of the room and then ran in the room as opposed to trying to get that initial damage. They just sacrificed their first slam and came in as such a harder target to hit in their super and then just cleaned the room up. It was crazy, but yeah, that was a. That was a very terrifying thing to have come around the corner and just like, chung, 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 chung. It was not easy to team fire.
Mm-mm. What about
but easy to melt when they come up short right in front of you because they don't realize that the blast radius has shrunk down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Golden gun changed a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where the attunement thing really comes into play, and I really want to see the other attunement because the one for Goldie that we had. I was not a big fan of it because, oh boy, is that super short.
Yeah, it is.
So I didn't, maybe if you guys saw the other perks, I did not spend a lot of time with the hunter. But again, four perks for one attunement. One of them was six shots with the Goldie, but a reduced timer. And man, the one time I really needed it, I popped it, got a kill, went, walked out the door thinking like, I got at least two more. And then it was just over immediately, and I was like,
Here's how the six-shot golden gun works. You're like, it's high noon. Oh, over already? Oh, okay.
It's 1 o'clock.
It's great if the team is all near each other.
Standing together.
Yeah, if they're all really close. Then you have six shots, so you can really, like, spam that shit. If you miss, I mean, you got plenty of chance to still wipe them, which is cool, but it is very short.
And I think, like, I don't know, is that ideal for PvP in a world where there's only ever going to be four people on the team? Mm-hmm. Do you want six if it's going to go away like that? I think the other attunement might really be an easy choice for PvP. In PvE, I can see a gunslinger actually becoming useful again to just go bam, 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 and just take out that wall of Cabal, but not so much in PvP. It was a little goofy.
That was my situation.
It's going to be perfect for people like me who panic and just start firing wildly, and then I get lucky and have four of the six hit people.
The six-shot golden gun has a higher ceiling. You know what I mean? Like, if everything is perfect, if all the enemies are right there, then boom, you're going to get the four. But it's like, how often is that going to happen? Whereas the other golden gun with three... You know, if that's the way it goes back to with the other perks on the skill tree, it's a much higher floor. Because, like, you can just pop it and you can go roaming around looking for trouble. It's like, oh, but you can only kill a maximum of three. It's, okay, that's still there's three quarters people, of a team wipe. Like, amazing.
Goddamn good. Yeah. So, I did like the, I kind of like the throwing knife, though, change that it's kind of like a grenade. Throwing knife hybrid now because you can throw it and then it explodes. I saw Lupo use it like once or twice where he like hit it against a wall as somebody was running and did a little bit of damage to them. So that's kind of better for, I mean, considering how often I throw a throwing knife and it just misses and it's worthless, like, it's nice that it can still do something if you get it near him, I guess. Like, I don't know. I did get one nice moment where like I killed someone like jumping and threw it in their head and then it explodes. Like, that feels pretty fucking cool to kill somebody with a golden or the throwing knife that way.
I saw sixes when stuff caught on fire with incendiary grenades and maybe something from the Dawn Blade. I thought that was interesting because the gunslinger does seem to feel a lot different, whereas the Dawn Blade, those grenades are just the same. But if incendiaries, doesn't sound like they would be a one shot kill if a sticky isn't going to be. So that's it really creates a whole different vibe of how you play aggressively or how you play passively to try to use those grenades well. The trip mines were back and lightning grenades were back, but lightning grenades have a delay.
I really like that.
It's interesting because you're not going to get that immediate. Like, there are some lightning grenades where you throw it on the back wall at sea in Twilight Gap, and it goes boom, boom, and just shatters everyone in that platform.
Yes.
Maybe I'll miss that. But that little delay really offers you some opportunities to maybe bait, maybe get someone to chase you a little bit, put it down so when they do come around the corner, suddenly, boom. Because if you threw that lightning grenade too soon and they just hear it, they just won't pursue.
Run away.
So you might have some opportunities there. And then you just got to get that timing back. And if you use trip mines in D1, you'll be pretty comfortable with lightning grenades in Destiny 2. So it's a pretty nice change. And that grenade has been hella powerful for 3 years and never really saw any change. So
that's my enemy number one in Destiny. So I'm very happy to see it changed. Yep.
Everybody press F in the chat to pay respect to the D1 Lightning name.
How about counter supers, man? It talks about, how were supers to counter with like the weapon sets that we have now? You know, in D2 with all these different categories and stuff.
We've got a higher time to kill now, so that's an interesting question. How it is countering supers?
So one thing I don't think anyone fully understood before the day was over, there was definitely some ideas people had, was that the secondary weapon slot, your elemental gun, does increased damage to all supers. And it's not a solar weapon against a solar Dawnblade in PvP. What's his name? Claude confirmed that on Twitter, Jerome, about that. He said, use your secondary. That elemental gun will do more damage against supers, so you just got to switch to those SMGs.
Really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. And I believe they do their normal thing in PvE, but that seems to be the new gun counter rather than just hoping your primaries are all focused in doing enough damage. The interesting thing about supers, I find, and we don't know this about whatever the Void Warlock is going to be called, and we know the Sentinel is a roaming super as well. My theory is that all supers become roaming.
Mm-hmm.
But that means you don't have the ease of those shutdown supers. That Nova Bomb is not going to be the biggest explosion that you don't have to aim. You just put it at your feet. The Striker Titan, you can't stand in one place and then clear an entire capture zone. You could still maybe hide around that corner and hope that they come really close. But I think it's going to be harder to use supers to just immediately shut down another one. The only thing I can see being the best counter to supers is the Golden Gun. Mm-hmm. And that's if you're in position, because you still can't pop it out in the open, but you got to pop it, use it quick.
Yep.
And then hope that Dawnblade doesn't already see you and chuck a sword to force the train. Because I see the Dawnblade having a huge advantage over everything with its aerial abilities. Mm-hmm. You can get so high up and stay up there and just drop swords down below you. And I don't see any hard counter to that beyond the Golden Gun. Mm-hmm.
And if someone's shooting you in the air while you're a Dawnblade, oh, guess what? I hold the crouch button for like half a second and I rocket to the ground like a freaking missile.
Cool, man.
And regenerate my health.
It's very interesting.
We need to talk about power ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through each of the weapon slots, because it's all changed, hasn't it? Everything's changing, with the exception of the primary. Yeah.
Which is, I mean, they're kind of changed in the sense that they can now never be elemental. That's kind of a change. Yeah. But other than that,
So in D1, you have three weapon positions. You have primary, special, heavy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now in D2, you have three weapon slots again, but this time you have kinetic primary, elemental primary. If you don't know what kinetic means, I mean, it's just, it's a non-elemental gun. Non-elemental.
Yeah.
Kinetic primary, elemental primary, and power weapon. And your power weapon is going to be kind of a new hybrid between special weapons in D1, fusion sniper shotgun, and heavy weapons in D1, like rocket launcher, the brand new grenade launcher, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool. And the first question I had, which many other people had too, which was, if it's all combined into one, why the fuck would I ever use anything but a rocket launcher?
Yeah, that's
and
the question.
And the answer to that is pretty clear. It's ammo.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did, I put on a rocket launcher when I went into the game. And again, you don't start with ammo for your power weapon.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds into the round that we played, in every round, power ammo would spawn in two different locations on the map. And you need to run up, hold square or whatever, and pick it up. And then it would only go to you. And I learned that out so painfully many times. Because I would run up to the wall with my team and be like, yeah, bro, let's get like shotgun ammo together or whatever. And like, I hear the pickup noise and I'm like, good to go. And then I run into battle and I slide into battle with my shotgun and I just poof air into that Titan's boot. Yeah. Like, yeah, it
that
only
little
goes...
flag popped out and then
the bang. It only goes to the person who picks it up. Doesn't matter if your teammate's right there. Doesn't matter how many people are there. You can't pick it up off of bodies. You can't respawn with it when you die. One man, one ammo position. And the rocket launcher that I had gave me one rocket, just one. Yeah. And the shotgun that I had gave me six shotgun shells, I believe. Same thing with the sniper. Yeah. So that's the trade-off.
Love
if you
it.
Have a
Love that.
Weaker,
that sounds
yeah,
it's great.
Cool. It's, or, if you have like a weaker power weapon, like sniper, if you're, I don't know, considering that weak, more shots. And then if you have a low skill power weapon, like a rocket launcher, which it's like you're not trying to get headshots with a rocket launcher or nothing like that. It's just one done. You know what I mean? And that's their new system.
Yeah. Which I think it's a really great system, and the fact that only one person gets ammo is like the most important part to me, because if everybody still got one rocket, the answer would obviously still be, okay, four rockets is we can wipe the team with four rockets. But now, I was using snipers more than anything, like snipers and shotguns, more than I was using rockets or grenade launchers. Yeah.
I got real into that grenade launcher. That thing was in my sweet spot. As Fallout said, getting one rocket, if you're going to hang out on the far side and try to wait to pick up ammo and then sneak around the back, you want a little bit more. But the grenade launcher kills in two shots and you get four. And if you just hit all the other team, it's like everyone at half damage. All right, everyone push in and clean up. That thing was nice. And it has a comfortable explosion. It's not like you need extreme accuracy with that either. So there's definitely some shots where I kind of hit a corner where they were about to peek out and they took enough damage to take one more and die. So that thing was pretty nice, especially if you flank with it and people just don't know how to react in time and you just start going junk, junk, junk.
Did any of you get to use the fusion rifle? Because I think I fired it like one time and I did it in PvE, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, I tried to use it in the game. I didn't experience any easy kills. I didn't experience anything where it was like, oh, this is more powerful because it's in the power slot. It functions near identical to the ones from D1. I had mixed feedback on the shotgun. I had some people say, wow, it really mapped. It was like a high-impact shotgun. And then I heard some people say, like, oh, I really didn't get much out of that at all. I really had to be right up next to him. So I think we'll find that out with mods and perks or whatever they are. It felt fine.
Much, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I just don't know if they went, okay, now that these are in the power slot, we'll make them insane. Yeah. I think they're going to play like they play. The sniper, definitely kind of like a low aim assist vibe, but felt very much like a sniper. No easier, no harder to learn how to use, I think.
There was good with the empowerment rift, the sniper, right?
Oh, yes.
Then you could like body people with it,
I think. Yeah, that's the rumor.
Yeah. A lot of rumors going around that day.
A lot of rumors about the sniper going around that day.
Yeah. Did you hear?
Did you hear? You hear? I hear snipers can do this. I hear that. I hear you can three bolt some fusion.
Yeah, about the Dawnblade is like there's so much to like about that with sniping is like, do I use my empowering rift and get those really strong body shots, or do I use the sniper and float in the air? And look at some Hush gameplay. He uses that all the time where he just puts the sniper on and it's like you don't do that sideways float like you do currently. It feels like it's a little more stable. Like they're putting more emphasis on that perk to make it appealing. So sniping, it's like, pop sniper, fly up along those long lanes while there's guys in front of you taking the initial grunt damage, and you just kind of float over them and pick people off. There's so much potential there. I'm really excited.
And something else that you might enjoy, Story, is because I think I remember you telling me once that like everybody feels this way right now in D1, ammo feels like really weird. Because it's very, like, it doesn't pop up very frequently. Like, you're never quite sure when, like, the enemy has the special ammo, and you're like, oh, shit, well, I guess that guy had a shotgun. Well, fuck me, I suppose. Mm-hmm. In D2, you grab the power ammo, and then down in the kill feed or the whatever feed where all the information's, like, scrolling, it says, Fallout just picked up the shotgun ammo.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it says where you picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
It says so, Fallout loaded sniper at shops.
Yeah. Or it's like a picture of a sniper. So you don't need to like read it. You don't need to read, all right?
And the at shops thing is another thing that they added to the game where they have in-game call-outs for locations underneath the radar.
Yeah. Two things that I noticed was every time someone moved into a different region on the map, there was a universal call out, and that is going to be like that helps people like me that is rubbish at call out and despite the thing on too. The box. Ah, you know, like I do a lot of that. But there was another thing I picked up on as well from watching the gameplay is the radar seemed to be far less effective. There was guys standing right in front. I could see them on the screen, but they weren't depicted on radar. How did that feel? You know, like
two things about radar.
Yeah.
Two things about radar. One, I think it's been confirmed that the radar range
shortened. Yeah.
Shorter. And that I didn't notice right away, but a couple of times I was like, well, there's nobody here. It's like, holy shit. And then like somebody like running around the corner.
It's in my pocket.
Like, where did you come from? And then the second thing is that when you de-scope with whatever gun you have, the radar doesn't come back right away. Mm-hmm. So there's moments in D1 right now where you're, you know, aiming down a lane and you're like, I should check my back. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to turn around because we like to be efficient. So you just de-scope, re-scope.
You just tap that scope.
And like you're catching it out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah.
But when you de-scope in D2, you're like, oh there it is. So like it takes like a second to come up.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to get used to that for sure.
I like
with
that.
All the information that they present to you in the game, all the details, they tell you who picks up ammo and where, they tell you who pops their super, they tell you who's sitting on a super, like all that. I would have loved it if they just took the radar out. But either way, it's a very satisfying thing to me because I've always said this, radar really, really emphasizes those dumb standoffs that you were just like, I know you're on the other side of that wall, and I'm not moving until you move, okay?
15 meters away, yeah.
And then you stand there on Black Shield on the other side of a doorway for 2.5 minutes until it's like, all right, I guess we'll go cap this zone. So I think that change is good. And I think everything about Countdown and everything about those PvP changes really encouraged engagements and really, really made you go like, oh, I have to be up here. I cannot hang in the back or else I'm being useless and I won't get any kills.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no appeal there. There's no safety appeal. There's no camping appeal. So all of that was just great, and like just keep your awareness up and use the information provided, and you'll be just fine without that radar just making everything slow down and to a halt.
Just makes me so excited.
To me, you know, was interesting to me how you say that, Bones. Like you couldn't like stay back. I think it's really interesting how so much of the game is slowed down, but at the same time, it's like they're forcing it to be. Play more, like slow down in how you move and how you kill people, but there's more action at the same time because they, at least even in the game type we played, like it forces you to kind of move toward that point or you're going to lose if you don't. Like everything about it just kind of forces
you. Yeah, on a very literal level, the Guardians are slower, but in no way is PvP slow.
Exactly. Yeah, that's all I mean it's slower time to kill and you're slower, but at the same time, the game is more... It's like faster almost in a way.
They give you more time to think. Like you already talked about it where you spawn in, you don't have special ammo right now, you run out there and go, oh, someone else did. What did I even die from? Or like, where is that person? And all that. Like so much about that gives you more time to think, and it does work for you. So your brain isn't just going like, what? Like where did that, you know, in that short amount of split second time, like the callouts just being on the map are so amazing because you look and you see that icon and you see the bomb go down and then you just go, they put the bomb on B, also known as rugs. Done.
Yeah.
There's none of that like, oh, you don't know the sweaty callouts? You don't know that that's called, that pillar over there is called dildo? Like, come on, man, everyone knows that.
Now you know,
it's all done. And you don't
universal. Just go, by
the thing, on the, is it over there by the thing? Oh, yeah. I died. Like, none of that. Just, you say the word that's on your screen, and it's going to make everything just go bam, 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 bam.
We got a lot of really good, information blurbs from Tier 1 Geeks, Giggle Monster. And he was mentioning that the footsteps and audio cues had been massively improved upon. Is that something that was noticeable straight away when you were playing?
I don't know if I noticed it immediately. I do know that they mentioned that. I couldn't tell you if it existed. I think there was just like a lot going on in the environment we were playing in, where there's like, you had the nice headphones on, but there's like 400 people behind you, like, bring it on.
Pretty much the pressure is like, all right, I have like 5 minutes to play right now. Quickly, everything that I wanted to check this time that I got to play, quickly try to do that. Like, it was very hard to notice a lot of the minor details in the short amount of time to play. Yeah.
Not that you shouldn't listen to our show because we're the best, but the Fireteam chat that those guys had with Luke and Mark, pretty much right. It was like 4 o'clock. I remember them watching them do it. And there's a lot of good info in there. One thing we didn't touch on yet about the PvP, actually, before we maybe get off PvP entirely, is the map design. Yes, 4v4. So they're all a little smaller. I would say Midtown is smaller than Rusted Lands for sure. I think there's some space that wasn't used because everyone just went, it's like, where do I go? I'm going to run towards that big B. And they just took B lines. And it sure might move in other game modes. But they laid this out. Crucible maps are designed for specific Crucible game types. So Midtown, the map, was designed to play Countdown. I don't know if they meant it to rhyme or not, but that map was designed to play the two-objective elimination system, which worked out great. I mean, it felt so good on the map. And they said that, if it works for other things, great, but they're not going to force it, and they're not going to tweak game modes or tweak maps to go like, well, we have this map, and it's got to work for Control, Clash, Trials, and Skirmish. Like they're not going to force that. Obviously, they need maps that are multidimensional.
Yeah.
But knowing that, I was like, oh wow, that could not have been more clear that this map just worked great for that game mode. Mm-hmm. And a lot will evolve in the gameplay compared to what you're watching. One day is not nearly enough to uncover, no matter how hard people obsessively go like, how do I figure this out? My name's Fallout Plays, and I need to know this thing right away. Like, Fallout will have plenty of work to do once the game comes out. I just thought that was a nice feature, and shout out to our buddy Cooley at Bungie. He got the credit for designing Midtown. Cooley also made Burning Shrine, which so many people like.
My favorite maps. Yep.
So so I'm so excited to see the rest of the maps now because, oh man, I'm so tired of Crossroads. I mean, Crossroads is great. I don't know if Cooley designed that one too.
Where's the doubles?
Focus is just important.
So PvP, we've scratched the surface.
Yes.
Sounds PvE. Like a lot of great changes, man.
PvE.
Thumbs up for me.
Stuff.
I really liked the new strike. I thought it was fun.
I didn't play the strike.
And moving on.
All right. Well, there we go. I like the enemy shield types are a lot more noticeable in the PvE content. Oh, I noticed. Yeah. Like not like kind of a flimsy aura. It's like a big freaking thing around that. You can tell that thing. I need to shoot that with fire. Like that is how I take it down.
Like I saw a Minotaur, and Minotaur shields are now like the same type of shield that like Hydras have. So if you think of the Templar and the Vault of Glass, it's like that makes so much more sense for the Vex. Thank you. Beautiful.
I don't know, everything just in the strike looked really gorgeous, I thought, and it felt bigger in a lot of ways. Like just the environments felt bigger. Like I know I'm on a track. I'm on a destiny track. I know exactly where this strike is leading. I'm gonna fight a boss at the end. But a lot of it like felt kind of cool and open, like jumping parts at the beginning and stuff like that. That will get boring when I play it 400 freaking times to grind for a gun later, but awesome. It was great the first time, at least.
Did any loot drop?
No, they had like all that crap turned off. It seemed
locked.
Yeah, I know. That would have been great though if I was playing and like a new exotic dropped or something. I was
I got
the only
this.
Person who saw it.
Everyone over here.
People would be like pushing me out of a chair to try to go. Datto punches me and grabs the controller.
The bunch of guys are scrambling to just like just rip the monitor out. Like, nobody's like that.
We're all holding the Bungie employees back while we try to find more things in the game.
He got the Pocket Infinity
fans
too.
Together. to find the new exotic and literally defeat the Bungie employees. Yeah, no,
everyone
unfortunately, that did not happen.
Wanted to play strikes, and I got in line with Ninja with no L, we were hanging out and talking about what we thought of the PvP, and we were like, why don't we do a strike? Yeah, let's do a strike. And we were in line, and Bungie, God love them, they were working so hard the whole day. It was probably really difficult to keep all that shit together. And they were probably pulling their hair out trying to keep people from like live streaming secretly, like while they were playing or whatever. And so Ninja and I wait in line, and we finally get to sit down, and we meet some random guy. We're like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And, you know, we're getting ready to go. And we played for about like 2 minutes, and then some new guy with the clipboard came over. He was like, all right, you guys got to get off right now, you got to get going. And Ninja and I were like, wait, what? Like, we literally just sat down. And he's like, don't tell me that you just sat down, come on, man, we got to. I was like, what the fuck? I didn't want to like argue with the guy.
Get yourself because, thrown out of the event.
Yeah, because like, you know what I mean, I understand they're confused and busy. It's not easy to run this shit. I've run tournaments before for like other games, and like sometimes you're like, don't fuck with me, man. Tell me you played for 2 minutes. Tell me another one. So we left, and then later I found Mega. I was like, hey, how long did you get to play the strike for? He was like, around like 20-ish minutes. I was like, fuck. Yeah,
I had all the time I wanted to play. I have a story about the strike. Because, there was, like, one main line, and people would pick out, like, hey, who wants to do PvP? And then you might be able to get in a game a little faster. So I was in line with the Destiny Reset podcast guys, Cyborg and Arrow, and they wanted to play the strike. And I was like, I'm just trying to get on the story mission. So this girl comes around with the clipboard, and they're like, we'll do strike. And then she's like, okay. And she's like, okay, well, it's like a 45-minute event, so that's why it's taking a little longer for the strikes. And to us, that was, like, a detail. So we're like, 45 minutes strikes, like, no way. And then so we kind of like perk up at that. And then Cyborg asks, we're like, wait, really? It takes 45 minutes? And like the way he said it clearly sounded like, what? It takes that long? Like, no way it takes that long. But like, he was just excited.
Yeah.
And she goes like, he's like, is it like that's how long the game takes? Or like people just don't know what they're doing over there, like, because it's new content. And she goes like, wait, what tier are you guys? Like, she looks at our passes. She like pulls his pass out, and she goes, and you, what are you guys are like content creators? And he's like, yeah, we're all podcasters. And she's like, and like everyone here is like, they do Destiny stuff. And he's like, yeah, I think everyone does. And she goes, so yeah, I think everyone here knows what they're doing. And he was just like, he's like, that's not what I meant. And she just walked away. We were all cracking up.
Jesus.
He was just like, yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone playing Destiny here doesn't like, what's reload?
Anyone? Like, ain't got no chill.
Orientation.
It was funny. Oh my God. We laughed at him, and then we were also like, but half an hour long strikes, though. Like, that's pretty nice. And I'm sure once you get better weapons and you're just running through people with the super you know how to use, it won't take quite 45 minutes. But it was really cool to see like a strike was like a good chunk of content and not something you're going to complete in 3 minutes by speedrunning it.
Yeah.
From what I saw, a lot of people didn't complete it at all.
Mm-hmm. People were struggling, but I think those were people who were playing more at the beginning.
People who had more than two minutes.
I think it was just people playing at the beginning of the day. It was a lot stricter, the enforcement on how much time you had at the beginning of the day. But by the end, at least, like, it had cleared out a lot. So if you wanted to sit down and play, you really had all the time you wanted, like, especially in the PC area for some reason. I don't know why.
I was supposed to check in, and I played so much PC without.
Yeah, I know, exactly. You could just sit at one. There were just open ones. Like, I'm just going to sit at this and play. Who cares? Like, nobody's going to stop me right now.
I had one woman say, like, hey, I went over to, like, an empty one, and I was kind of, like, clearly, like, hey, is like anyone gonna stop me? And I walk over, and this girl sees me, and she goes like, hey, did you check in? I was like, oh, do I have to check in to play that? And she's like, yeah, just go put your name down. So I go over to this other person, and I'm like, hey, can I check in and play the campaign? And she's like, do you have an appointment? And I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, just grab an open one. And I was like,
dude,
all right.
They kept saying that to me too. They kept asking me if I had an appointment. I'd be like, no. And they're like, just go play. I'm like, well, what the hell's the point of the appointment?
The trick is to wait for PvP because they need to fill someone to get the games going. They can't wait for the one guy at the other side of the room who's in line to put him in the last spot. So they're just like, hey, anyone for PvP? And I'm like standing by the PCs like, yeah, I'm ready. And
I'm what like, is this game? I think in. I'll give it a shot, good sir.
Being as though you've mentioned it, how was it on PC then?
Yeah, let's go ahead and dive on into that.
Sorry, I know you're a mouse and keyboard guy. I know you played Battlefield and Destiny was not your main thing because of the controller, and you do the mouse and keyboard. Mm-hmm. You are going to be a happy guy whenever it comes out of PC. You are going to be a very, very happy man.
You're
going to
shit your PC, pants, dude.
PC literally made you, like, I felt sick where I was just like, I get on the PC and I'm just like, oh my God. Like, is oh my God.
Overload.
It's like, holy shit.
And for those of you listening at home who like to play console, I understand I'm a console player too, and I get really sick of hearing like the PC master race.
I'm sick of that. I'm a PC guy and I'm sick of it.
Shut up, you're so annoying, you PC people. And then like I sat down to play PC and it was like, oh, days of sunshine. I was like, it was so
welcome,
beautiful and smooth, and I was losing my shit. Losing it.
It was gorgeous. I mean, the raindrops on the story mission, I played the campaign. I split off. We were hanging out. You know, most of us were in a group, Fallout and Mega and CR and the people I know and stuff like that. And I literally was just like, I'm going to go play some PC. And I just like disappeared and sat down by myself. And Crucible was great. I was still getting used to it. At the time, it was like a lot of chaos and Mega standing over my shoulder making fun of me. And then I get two kills and I'm like, see? But when I really...
Whatever. When I played, you kept grabbing my shoulders when I was playing in a PC. So don't try to just play.
I wasn't about to let you be better than me.
Naturally.
That rain, the fire, the Cabal thing that comes down and dematerializes, like every bullet of the auto rifle was like, you saw it. You just saw the bullets hit and you saw the Cabal like take the shots, and it wasn't just those like one clicky movements where they just like bounce once and they always bounce that same way, pop their heads, they always die the same way. It was like they took those shots and kind of just like and took the hits like that. It was just, it was so freaking gorgeous. It was so insane.
Freaking Lupo.
I want to point out the game did look great on PS4 as well. It's just the frame rate. It was so smooth. The frame rate. So for PvP is where it really like was a huge difference.
It just felt like that scene in The Matrix where, you know, you're Neo in the medical bay and you're like, why do my eyes hurt? And then Lupo Morpheus comes by and he's like, because you've never used them before.
That's why I'm going to touch your butt.
It's amazing. Story in a suit with sunglasses.
Lupo did look like, he looked like a little kid at a candy
store. Oh, yeah.
He didn't record anything.
He
didn't record anything.
Yeah. He was like, I know I need to record stuff, but I don't want to leave the PC area. Like, he was so excited.
Can I take this with me?
Meanwhile, I'm sitting over there in the corner with like a cardboard sign and a cup. I'm like, footage, sir. Anyone have any footage?
Footage, please. And he's I'm all over the place. I'm too excited. But you were bringing up how the coolness and PvE stuff, like the enemies kind of not being so stock when you kill them. My favorite aspect of the PvE was having like NPCs around. Playing, like having making the world feel more alive, and like I'm not just this solitary person. Obviously put in a video game, like everything feels more alive when Zavala's like, get in my bubble, and fucking slams that.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
And then all elements of that. And so you fight off the tower, and that's a condensed version of the story mission. That's not the full thing we played. They made it seem very demo-y. So you do that, and Zavala covers you, and you're like, oh, hell yes. Like, I'm fighting with Zavala. This is my dream come true. And then he sends you off, and it's like, hey, go check out where the speaker is. And you walk off, and you're like, all right, now it's Destiny. I've got my my pathway, and I've got someone in my ear. But it wasn't. It was Zavala and Cade talking when there was stuff. So you're getting filled in. When you finally land on that ship, you're up there, And it's Zavala going like, Cade, how's it going? And he's like, bam, bam, we're losing ammo. So it was not just like, here's a detail about the ship you're on, and also you better win. And it was just like, still stuff was happening, and you felt a sense of urgency. Like, all right, I need to get to the top here because Cade is apparently dying, and Zavala is still defending the tower. And then at the beginning, right when you think like, all right, see ya, Zavala, that was fun. I'm glad I saw you for that one scripted event. And we're back to getting voiceover. You walk out of the room and you see some more Cabal and you shoot ones, and then boom, Nova Bomb shows up and Ikora floats in, and you're like, oh yes, like this is not over. It was just the interactions were so cool. So wonderful. It's just
yeah, and
And I'm so excited because like what they showed at the talk was that there's going to be basically more NPCs around the worlds anyway. Like when you're patrolling for adventures.
Oh my
stuff.
God,
and
patrol! Oh
I'm
my god.
So I'm it's ridiculous to be excited to patrol in Destiny to me, but I'm so excited to fucking patrol right now. I know. Yes. I want to go on adventures and go into a cave and find a boss at the end of it and shit. I feel like I'm playing Breath of the Wild Destiny.
Oh my god. Okay, so. Real quick, there's a lot to talk about in this episode, and we are on a time schedule to some degree. So if we miss talking about some topic, I'm sure we'll talk about it.
Next week, this is a very good point because...
We're never going to talk about D2 again.
Yeah.
next week, Pokemon.
I've got like a long trials guide on how to use Icebreaker. stay tuned for that. We're going to bring on a guest who is a Plaguelands Sherpa. He'll walk you through getting new artifacts if you want to just slightly increase the role of your Yolder.
Glad that phone is eating up so much of this limited podcast joke.
Yeah.
But it's totally worth it.
Well,
but,
we got exactly 20 minutes left, so we could probably open up for questions pretty soon. Next week, I've got some notes talking about PC builds, the 30 frames a second issues, no dedicated servers, the negatives, you know, like, and constructive support around that. We can cover that like next week in great detail.
I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, but like, there's also some really good feedback surrounding these. You know, issues, and it's not like we're unaware of them. Of course we are. It's not like we're not disappointed or, you know, we don't care. There's lots of care and consideration there, but it's a big topic, so I think next week we can probably tackle on all of that. But for now, what do you guys want to know in the chat? What do you want to ask the guys that were on the floor testing the game themselves?
I want to answer my most asked question of this entire time, which is, did I lick bones? And the answer is, yes, I did lick bones.
Did he pay?
Right.
He didn't.
He gave me a bagel afterwards.
Well, there you go. That's better than money.
I had to pay.
That's better than money.
Bed and breakfast, there you go.
There we go. So now you all have that answer. It was the first thing I did when I saw him was I licked him. It was a beautiful moment.
Yeah, so that was our first interaction as human beings.
Start of a beautiful relationship. Yeah.
Here's a really good question here from a friend of mine. Did it feel like you could take on a 2v1 situation better than in Destiny 1 in PvP? Or was it about the same, or was it more challenging? You know, like, how effective can you be as a solo aggressor? You know,
take anything that comes out of my mouth ever, not just about D2, with a grain of salt.
Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. Total bullshit. Grain of salt.
I mean, we only played, I don't know, like 10 games the whole day or something like that. But I think it felt a little bit more challenging just because there's a decline in weapons that can like burn you in one hit. You know what I mean? Taking away the special, replacing it with power ammo, which not everybody is going to get their hands on in a round. And if the grenades are weaker, the melee's a little bit weaker, it's much more emphasis on team shooting and coordination. And I'm not saying it's obviously impossible to win a 1v2 situation, but you have to play it smart. Definitely have to play it smart.
Great.
I would agree with that. I would agree. I mean, again, it always comes down to how, I guess, coordinated the people you're playing against are more than anything. Because, I mean, if you're really, really good, like Fallout, and you're playing against two guys that aren't working together, he can probably beat them fairly easily in a 2v1 in general. But if they're coordinated, it's going to be really hard. Not easily, but, you know, yeah, whatever.
Not to actually talk about Destiny 1 right now, but, like, actually surviving 1v2s is not because you have a rocket launcher or something like that. Like, you got to use everything there. And part of surviving in those 1v3 scenarios is your ability to back up and put things in front of you. And actually, I think the increased time to kill might help you in that scenario. Mm-hmm. Because defeating them is not about, oh, I hope that they are squishy and I will kill them fast with my basic approach. It's about, I'm going to funnel you into this room. You come at me, but I'm ready. Yeah. And I got you on the jump here and I hit you with a grenade or something like that. And then I'm very quickly going to turn around and be ready for that next guy. Or like, hey, you guys were kind of splitting me and both coming from both sides. So I'm going to back up. So now you're both in front of me and I can do double damage with my grenade or something like that and get both of you a little weakened. So in the sense that like when you get flanked and shot from your side, taking a little bit more damage is kind of nice. Because it's not like you just go, bam, bam, dead. And you're like, oh, I couldn't turn left in a matter of milliseconds. It's like, bap, bap, whoa, something's hitting me from the side. I'll duck back into this door. And I think that's going to help with those extended engagements and staying alive if you want to. If your vibe is to be that sneaky guy who can always disappear, I think that's going to be... It goes both ways. It's harder to kill two people, but it's much easier to stay alive as one. No.
Great. Okay.
To some degree.
Kona J's got, is it true that Destiny 2 will be delayed for PC? And that's been confirmed as yes. There is a delay. Mm-hmm. We don't know how long the delay will be. But very quickly on that one, all PC gamers that I know that are of, you know, any like enthusiastic kind of level of PC games won't care how long it is delayed. As PC gamers over the last few years, we have been very, very disappointed with a lot of releases that have come out because they've been released in a shocking poor state. It's basically like day one, you're waiting for the first patch. So anyone who's really serious about playing it on PC won't really care too much. I mean, obviously they want to play it and they're like, they're going to be disappointed they can't play it, but they're not going to rant and rage about the fact that it's delayed because they just want it to work. So yeah, it's there is a delay, but if they delay it, it's for a reason, and I'm going to be personally happy with whatever, whenever it comes out.
Yeah. Basically, the only thing the delay means to me, I don't think it's going to deter anybody who was only going to be a PC gamer from playing, but it essentially says to me, I have to play this game when it comes out, so I'm buying it on console.
Yep, me too.
And then later I'm buying it on PC. So it just secured two sales from people like us.
Yes, yes. I don't think, but some people think that that was the plan.
I doubt that that was the plan.
No, it literally is.
This tiny little subset of the market, we can get them to buy it twice. Let's increase sales by like 200, guys.
Yes.
I don't think that's how it's
done. Exactly.
They're certainly not going to be convincing, you know, the PC people to buy a console to play this game first. But thankfully, from you guys' reports here, and certainly from reports of other people who were at the event, the PC version is sounding pretty darn crispy, which makes me happy. I want it. I need it.
Yeah, I think of it as a long-term thing. Like, I know my aspirations are not competitive. I'm not going to be on Team Liquid in Crucible. I want to be able to team up with, you know, if Fallout and Mega will let me join, and we can carry people together to the Lighthouse or something like that. That sounds awesome. Like, I want to be able to do that. But I do want to be on PC for the experience that I felt while I was playing that campaign. Mm-hmm. Playing the Crucible was definitely like, holy shit, this is beautiful, but it wasn't the thing that made me go like, I need this. But playing that story, being in that world, being in the tower as it crumbled in that dark tower north area and being on that ship and seeing the city below, like that experience made me want it. And I want to be able to raid with my scuff or whatever on the PC. That to me is more important than getting to be insane with mouse and keyboard so that I can play competitive sweats or something like that on PC. I'll try to be the biggest tryhard on PS4, don't you worry. I'll try to get good there, but I'm not even worried about it on PC. I just want that experience. And that's just a choice that I can make that no one has to make to enjoy this game. It's absolutely brilliant and enjoyable on PS4.
Lovely.
Agreed. Well put.
Someone else want to pick a question? Because there's plenty of them. The chat is live with...
I saw one that was a little salty, but I guess it's worth answering. Was there hand cannon bloom?
It feels the same.
The same? Yeah.
I was going to ask Fallout directly. Are they still good? Are they still crispy? Are they? Please tell me so.
They were good, but I mean, like, it wasn't my favorite weapon type.
Really?
What was you using?
I was using the pulse rifle.
Okay.
And actually, A little bit of the auto rifle.
Zones told me to give the auto a shot, and I was like, ooh, damn.
What strange new world is this?
I went around everywhere, especially before we played DCP. I was just like, auto. Auto's really good. Like, I just like leaned over people's shoulders. Like, I don't even know a note.
That just says auto I popped their headset
off their head, and I was just like, auto rifle. And then threw it back on, and they were like, what? But they all switched and started winning. It was good.
And before you run around going, oh my god, it's an auto rifle meta. Again, these were just the guns that
we
were given.
We had the most basic
of the basic bitch weapons. It was like basic auto rifle, basic pulse rifle.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's gonna be different depending on your weapon.
I can't tell you exactly where you'll find this, and I think I heard it secondhand, but I believe there's a perk on a hand cannon that has to do with initial accuracy.
The energy hand cannon had a perk that its first shot had increased accuracy on it. I actually found that out myself when I was playing, because I fired and it kept making the luck in the chamber like ding, and I was like, what the hell is making it do that noise? So I had to like dig into the perks and find what it was. But yeah, that is a thing. So I don't know if that means that the initial accuracy of hand cannons without that perk is lower than Destiny 1 and this is raising it up, or if this is raising it up even higher or not, but that's something for somebody like Fallout to figure out when the game's out, not me.
I don't think the feel was so different where they're just like, oh my god, they undid hand cannons, but factor in the setups, the not max ranged hand cannons with these perfect builds and rifled barrel and range finder. And then on top of that, a little longer time to kill. It's like, you better hit your crit shots, because you can't just do that one crit, two body to win. It just won't work like that. So I think hand cannons will still be good. They're just in a different environment now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question I'd like to answer, mostly so I can tangent off of it, which is, how do you guys feel about clan rewards, which I think is a great thing, you know, that you can earn rewards just from how your clan plays, but I really just want to tangent into how awesome I think the new clan system is in general.
It looks good,
the
man.
The whole clan thing is so cool, like, that they've implemented, because we didn't bring it up yet, and that's another cool thing that I just want to talk about.
So we're sitting there in the auditorium while they're giving the presentation about, like, oh, it's, you know, clans, you can, like, kind of open your doors to random people. Like, you know, if you're doing an activity and your clan isn't all there, you have room, you can kind of put out the alert that you're looking, and then someone who is looking to join an activity can kind of cycle through who's available and read the profile and be like, oh, they're doing, like, they're a PvE clan and they all seem nice. I'll take that. Or it's like a douchey PvP, we teabag people clan, it's like, swipe that shit. And I thought it was the coolest shit. It was so interesting. And while I'm sitting there like, wow, what a brilliant idea. How'd they come up with this? Megat leans over and he, as if he read my mind, he's like, it's fucking Tinder. It's Tinder for Destiny 2. Just, like, left, wow, you know what? Left, you're right.
Right, left. Swipe. Ooh, that's a match right there. Yeah.
Super like.
I think it's a really cool feature. Just for any activity you're doing, you'll be able to find people more easily, and maybe, hopefully, you can try to read the vibe of a clan going in and know if you're going to be getting, like, kind of not so fun people, or if you're going to get the type of people you want to play with.
Yeah, definitely.
And just, up from me. Having that option there for in-game content like Nightfalls and raid matchmaking and stuff like that, what a brilliant way to handle that. Mm-hmm. Rather than just having blind matchmaking, you can look for established groups that are looking to invite people in. I think that was a fantastic way to handle
the best way around just, you know, this age-old conundrum of we want, you know, blind matchmaking and stuff like that. So a really good way around that supports and enforces what Destiny actually really is. And, you know, it's a social experience and best enjoyed with people, with other people and stuff. So I was really happy to see that. GG as well, guided games.
Guided games,
GGs.
GG no re. No rage encounters.
Yes.
Terrible.
Question. What else we got?
Twitter, let's see.
Do you know if clans are still capped at 100 members? I have two versions of my clan and want less separation. Luke Smith basically said they're not going to do something that will alter your clan to transition over. They're going to maintain it in the state it's in now. So if you need to reorganize, that's like something you might want to do. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to feel like, well, I got this big clan and it's just going to get all messed up once we switch over. That's not supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Pale Rider 766. I hope that helps.
Alrighty.
Let's see. Bibletron's asked if intellect, discipline, strength are removed. That's a quick one. That seems to be. Yeah, it seems to be. Yes, there was no sign of it on anything we could see, at least.
Wasn't it
controlled cooldowns?
Armor recovery.
Yeah, agility.
Agility. Your armor had your like what would normally be like your class stats. Your armor had.
Mm-hmm. So
the question that opens for me is: can a warlock spec armor and agility and just abandon recovery? Is that kind of armor going to drop for a warlock? So what separates classes besides their specific abilities? Or will warlock armor just tend to drop
at like a certain level of agility on it?
Yeah. So you're not just going to have the fastest warlock with high armor. Are those just free for anyone to control, which I also does seem appealing.
It does.
That is a really good one as well, though. That's a good segue. With the Titan skating and Warlock surfing being changed, how did it feel? What was different with the skating? That's from Red Cheat, ladies and gents.
It felt really weird. The very first match I get into, I'm just like, all right, let's do this. I'm on Striker. I know how this plays. And I just, I'm not moving. All of a sudden, I'm just walking through quicksand trying to skate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever have that dream where you're being chased by a giant naked Mega Magwitch? You ever have that dream? And you're trying to run away, and it feels like you're running through, like, knee-deep mashed potatoes. Wasn't quite that bad. But, like, I was trying to Warlock surf, and I was trying to Titan skate. I mean, Titan skating still works, air quotations. Like, you can jump in the air, wait till you're, like, this close to the ground, and then just be like, and just pound that X button. And I was moving like a hair. Like I was trying so hard. I was skating my brains out. And like I look over my shoulder and Meg is like literally like 3 inches behind me, like, you know, what's up, dude? Like, and he's just like running on foot. And I'm like, okay, I guess this is kind of pointless.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad change at all. I want to say that because of the way the game has been tuned around having kind of slower movement. It's just a really weird one to adjust to in a short amount of time because my instincts are so... I'm so ingrained when I'm playing on a Titan that I need to like skate to move around. Or when I'm on a Warlock, I need to constantly be trying to surf my ass to the other side of the map. And it just makes me look like an idiot in this game now.
Yeah. Right. Well, I got 4 minutes before I have to leave.
So we should. So is that the cue to.
I would say then? Wrap things up, yes. So, outros and stuff.
Next,
you do a story.
No. Jesus.
I'm not doing it. I don't do the outros. Oh, you want me to do it
right now?
Oh, well. Yes. I think next week is going to be a very big podcast week for us because I think we're going to be taking on a lot of the hopes, the aspirations, the fears, the worries about things moving forward in a very kind of civilized manner, you know. So
that's right.
Come and be a part of it next week. I know a lot of people have got some very kind of, you know, ambivalent, you know, kind of views and here and there. And I've been part of it myself, you know, like some of the news that we've had is obviously sounds quite kind of disappointing. Then there's the hype, you're extremely excited. There's a lot of emotions about the place. So tune in next week because we're going to tackle those emotions for sure. And so that was podcast number 120. Thank you very much for being a part of it. And next week, please show your faces. Sorry we didn't get to answer all the questions, but there's going to be plenty more time for that next week.
Yeah, where can we settle too?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that I've been watching a lot of people talk about these things, and like literally, it's so reassuring to see that there are so many balanced and well-educated, informed opinions out there. It's not just like a barrage of like lost.
And then there's me.
The future is incredibly bright, folks. You know, it really is incredibly bright for the game. And that's all I really wanted to say on that. So how about finding everybody? Where can we find y'all?
You can find me on twitch.tv/husky_raid. I stream every morning Destiny 1. It's not going to be as exciting as D2, but I also have a lot of – I got a lot of Union Alike codes from a little bit of a tipsy Cosmo, so anybody wants those.
Oh, wow. Do you got them Fallout, crispy ones?
Where do we find you? Fallout Plays.
Google Fallout Plays. You'll find me. Trials, carries, guides, shenanigans.
Boom.
Walks by the beach. Bones.
Fallout told me he hates Trials, carries a few weeks and months ago.
I believe
That's
you.
That's all he does.
So anyways, where to find you, Bones?
At Bones_CR on Twitter, or just check out Crucible Radio. And if you're listening to this live and you hear this, or if you're listening to it in recording, go back and check this out. But tomorrow we're dropping episode 100 of Crucible Radio. There has so much work has been poured into it. Birds has been editing literally since Friday night on this radio play we did. We put a little teaser on Twitter. Mega Magwitch starring as Ridley in that one, so get ready for that.
It's gonna suck. My parts are gonna suck.
No, it's good. It sounds good. But
the rest of it's good. Just my lines. That's
yeah. There's more D2 talk, and then there's a little some other little nostalgic segments. Anyways, Fallout's giving me the wrap it up, you asshole. I only have one 100th episode. I promise.
That's true. That's true.
Gotta shill it right.
The Black Link. Where can they find you?
Okay. Yo, what up? You can find me generally everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all of that. This week, the usual stuff. We've got Strams going on. Going to be playing, boring, old, worthless Destiny 1 and wishing we had Destiny 2. But hey, we can dream, right? And we can complain about things. And that's probably what's going to be happening all week long.
Mm-hmm.
But story. Get us on out of here, man.
Yeah, man.
Where can they find you?
Well, you can find me at twitch.tv/ and the name's just below. I'm streaming a hell of a lot, and I'm still loving playing Destiny 1. We're going to be playing lots of PvP this week, so tune in and come and join me and say hello. We've been having loads of fun in sixes and stuff like that. So, yeah, and come play. Just come play. Drop by. And that's it. Ladies and gents, I'm going to have to go because my dog is destroying something next door and probably being... she's old. She's so old. It's probably her last... year. Press F to play respects, but she's destroying books and probably pissing on everything at the moment. Anyway, let's raid somebody. Say goodbye, everyone. Thank you very much for being here. Who's listening?
Thanks for listening.
And we'll see you next week for a huge explosion of love and laughter.
Yes.